Welcome to American Mosaic in VOA Special English. I'm Doug Johnson. Today, we answer a listener question about the British music invasion in the 1960s. But first, we visit a special architecture exhibit in Washington, D.C. Architecture lovers in Washington do not have to travel far to see some of the world's most famous buildings. Architect Adam Reed Tucker has recreated 15 of them using Lego bricks. The exhibit is called Lego Architecture, Towering Ambition. It is at the National Building Museum in Washington until early September. Faith Lapidus has more.
Lego bricks are small, colorful plastic blocks. They can be snapped together to make any number of objects. They are popular with children of all ages around the world. Adam Reed Tucker calls himself an architectural artist. He was a professional architect for 10 years. After the terrorist attacks against the United States in 2001, he decided to do something different. He wanted to express his feelings for the form of the skyscraper while deepening his understanding of architecture, engineering, and construction. He chose to use something that most people used as children and could relate to. The buildings in the exhibit include the World Trade Center in New York that was destroyed in the terrorist attacks, the Gateway Arch in St. Louis, Missouri, the famous house called Falling Water in Pennsylvania, designed by Frank Lloyd Wright, and the Burj Khalifa in Dubai, the tallest building in the world. Tucker used more than 450,000 Legos to make his version, which is more than 5 meters tall. Tucker does all his work by hand, using only pictures of the buildings. He does not use any computers or drawings to plan his buildings. While the exhibit is going on, Tucker will be working on his latest work, the White House, where the American president lives. Visitors can watch him create the famous building, brick by brick. Ann Bennett visited the building museum with her 2 grandchildren, Dylan and Daisy. She used the Lego exhibit to teach her grandchildren about famous buildings.
My favorite's probably that tall building because made out of Legos, it's really cool because it actually looks like there's individual little rooms.
That was Anne's granddaughter, Daisy. She was talking about the Willis Tower, formerly known as the Sears Tower in Chicago, Illinois. The real building is over 440 meters tall. Tucker's model stands 6 meters tall. After walking through Tucker's models, visitors can create their own works at the building station. They can make houses, office buildings, stores, or factories. They can then place their models on a large map of a city. As more visitors come, the Lego city will grow. Lowry Baker came from McLean, Virginia, to see the exhibit.
Well, when we saw the models, it's just amazing. The models are seem like a perfect rendition of the actual buildings. And then, of course, as soon as my son got a look at all of the stations here, he just made a beeline. He wanted to start building. So it's really a great setup. It really sort of encourages creativity on the kids' part.
Paul lives in Washington and brought his baby daughter along to see the Lego exhibit.
You know, I love architecture, so, and growing up, I always loved Lego, so, you know, throw those two together, I'm going to come running and check this out, regardless of whether or not she cares.
To many people, Legos might seem like toys for kids, but Adam Reed Tucker proves that the only limit to what the toy can do is a person's imagination. To watch another Lego artist at work, go to voaspecialenglish.com and click on captioned videos.
Now, yesterday and today, our theater's been jammed with newspapermen and hundreds of photographers from all over the nation, and these veterans agree with me that the city never has witnessed the excitement stirred by these youngsters from Liverpool who call themselves the Beatles. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles!
This week's listener question comes from a Russian student living and studying in France. Georgia Mulyukina wants to know about the musical British invasion of the 1960s. In the winter of 1964, the Beatles packed up their electric guitars, drum kits, and rebellious ways and set off for America. They landed at Kennedy Airport in New York on February 7th. Huge crowds gathered to greet the long-haired musicians from Liverpool, England. Girls screamed as they tried to get a look at John Lennon, Paul McCartney, George Harrison, and Ringo Starr. Two days later, more than 70 million people watched the group perform four of their hit songs on the Ed Sullivan Show. This was 60% of the American television audience. Here, the Beatles sing one of those songs, I Want to Hold Your Hand. The Beatles soon had the top five hit songs on the Billboard Singles Chart. Millions of fans became infected with Beatlemania. They rushed to stores to buy Beatles albums, wigs, clothes, dolls, and lunchboxes. The Beatles had more than 20 number one hits in America. A Beatles song was almost always at the top of the charts until the group's next hit replaced it. They played to more than 50,000 fans at large sports stadiums, and they filmed several movies that made millions of dollars. The Beatles were influenced by American singers including Chuck Berry, Buddy Holly, and Little Richard. Yet the group's music sounded completely new and different. The Beatles wrote more than 200 songs that revolutionized American popular music. In addition, young people saw the Beatles as spokesmen for their generation. They copied the band members' long hair and free-spirited ways. The band became so popular that in 1966, John Lennon said they were more popular than Jesus Christ. Here, the Beatles sing one of their number one hits, Get Back. Other musicians began writing their own music the way John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote the Beatles songs. Many other British groups followed the Beatles to America. This was known as the British Invasion. They included the Dave Clark Five, the Kinks, and the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones called themselves the world's greatest rock and roll band. The Stones first performed across America in 1964. This song was the group's first top 40 hit in the United States.
Again, I want your love again.
Spring of 1970, the Beatles released Let It Be, but their fans were not celebrating. This was the last studio album the Beatles recorded as a group. It tells the story of the band's breakup. We leave you with the title track from that album, Let It Be.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be.
I'm Doug Johnson. Our program was written by Mike DeFabo, who was also the producer. You can find transcripts, MP3s, and podcasts of our shows at voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for American Mosaic, VOA's radio magazine in special English.
There is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer.